Okay. The what's your call? It's pretty early.
51.
Go for closer to that, probably. Anyways, I want to ask you four questions today. Four questions I want to ask you. I'm going to give you four answers, but it's really a mahalach. It's an approach. And I'm warning you in advance that something we've spoken about in the past, actually the last day or two, we spoke about it in Shir together, but we're going to put it together to a piece where you're going to understand a little bit clearer of what makes a real full-fledged Jew. If you don't fit in this category, we're in a lot of trouble. More like you're in a lot of trouble. Okay, Parshas Beshalach. The very beginning of the Parsha, again, I'm just going in chronological order, I think, where this all happens. We're described, and the Torah describes us in Perek Yud Gimel, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayasev Elokim Asa'am Derech Midbar Yam Suf, Vachamushim Alu Bnei Yisrael Me'er Tzayim. Bnei Yisrael left Chamushim. The word Chamushim either can mean armed, they left with weapons to be able to defend themselves in the future for any attackers, as we'll see will be happening very soon. Or, the Medrash says Chamushim means a fifth. Rashi quotes, a fifth. Meaning 80% of the Jewish people died during Rashi's Makos Choshech. Only 20% survived. And by the way, the Medrash goes on to say maybe that's even more than that. Maybe only 1/500th of the people actually. 1/50th, 1/500th. Like a very small percentage of our people survived. What happened? How could that be? Number one, how could it be? Up till now, all the Makos were really addressing the Mitzvah. And how are we even check? What happened to Jewish families? Were the Jews hurt by Barad? Were the Jews hurt by Dever? And each time he was found, they know the Jews were spared. If we had 80% of our population were bad, then why were they spared up till now? Question one. Question number two is two very famous characters make it out of Mitzrayim. And they're mamish like the worst. They've been the worst for a long time, right? They've been famous for being bad. And they are? Dustin Aviram. Excellent, Benny. Dustin Aviram. Benny Miller, very good. Dustin and Aviram were people who up until now had behaved so poorly. They were around in Moshe Rabbeinu's time when he first left the palace. People were fighting with each other. How could they be on our top 20%? They're famous for being bad. How could they have made it to our elite that survived the entire process of the Makos throughout the story of the Midbar? How could that be? It's very depressing to imagine these are our top 20%. Okay, that's question two, but that really part one of 50%, 80% dying earlier. As the Torah goes on to describe the next part, which is when the Mitzrayim start to chase us, so the Torah says in Perek Yedalid, in Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach sheish miyotz rechev bachur v'chol rechev Mitzrayim v'shalishim al kulo. That all the horses, 600 rechev bachur, very strong and capable horses, and all the rechev Mitzrayim, the chariots of Mitzrayim. Rashi here says right away, one second, I don't understand. Mishel mi hayu. Where do they have animals left? Were the animals not killed already in Dever and in Barad? Were there any animals left anymore? How could it possible they still had animals around? They're grabbing all these horses. Where can it be? Even if they didn't know, even animals they didn't think were God, then Barad, the animals died.
People that believe from the Egyptians who were God.
Excellent, Maxwell. Elephant.
Check out my son.
Cute. As Maxwell has told us, and even in Mitzrayim, there were God-fearing Egyptians. They protected their animals. They were warned in advance. If you keep your animals out right now, the hail will come and kill everybody. But if you bring them in, Yirei Hashem, protect them. And they brought them in. They were Yirei Hashem. What happened right now? Why are the Yirei Hashem lending their animals to fight Hashem? Doesn't that seem a little backwards? The whole point of how they survived was because they saw Hashem's hand. They believed and feared in God. And all of a sudden, they walk out of Mitzrayim and the Yirei Hashem are like, let's get them, guys. Shouldn't they be like, no, listen, you know, this is Bessie over here. I want to keep Bessie. I don't want you to go. Where are they letting all their animals go? They're Yirei Hashem. Question number two. Question number three. Medrash tells us that as Jews leave Mitzrayim, so all of Klal Yisrael went to gather money, you had clothing and dishes and kalim. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't gather those. Instead, he went to gather the Atzmos Yosef, as Chazal described. He went to take the Atzmos Yosef Imo, ki ashbe ashbiya, he swore. Again, Vayikach Moshe, Perikir Gimel Pasuk Yates, Vayikach Moshe as Atzmos Yosef Imo, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Moshe of Yosef with him, ki ashbeya ishbiya. He had promised him, not he had, but they had promised. He made Bnei Israel promise that they would bring Elisemes Asmosai Mizaitchem. They would bring the bones with them. He promised, so he took them out. Chazal say about Moshe Rabbeinu taking the bones out, it says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. It calls Moshe Rabbeinu a Chacham Lev. A wise man should take with him mitzvos. But we're everyone right now doing mitzvos? Everyone was commanded to go around and collect money from the Egyptians. Everyone was commanded to take their things and leave Mitzrayim. Hashem promised you'll leave with great wealth. They were following Hashem's wishes as well. How come only Moshe Rabbeinu is given the title of Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos, taking the bones of Yosef? They did their job. Everyone took what they're supposed to take. The Jews were taking money as they were told to do, and kalim and smalot like they were told to do. And Moshe was taking the body as he was told to do. Why is he called a chacham lev yikach mitzvos? They're all doing mitzvos right now. Question number three. Question number four is, as we look in the Kriyas Yamsuf, we describe a little more of what's going to happen. So, it says in the Halil, the Yam saw Vayanos, right? The Yam saw Vayanos, and it ran away, it split. The Medrash there says, you know why it split, why Vayanos? Because we have someone else we described before as Vayanos. Who in the Torah was described before as Vayanos? No, someone in the Torah, before this part of the Torah even. Who was described as Vayanos? Vayanas Hachutza. Not Aaron. Vayanas Hachutza.
What's that mean?
That he ran outside.
Yitro.
So far, no one said it so far, but a lot of same names are given.
Yitro.
Yosef.
From Basque.
I'm not going to quote it from because it was a late guess. But it was right. Vayanas Yosef. When did Yosef run away, Jonah?
Oh.
From Ba'ez Potiphar. He ran away. Says the Medrash. Says the Medrash, you said that or not? You said that?
No, it was very wrong. No. You can say that, but I meant well,
Says the Medrash that because Yosef ran away from Ishus Potiphar, and Yosef's body is being brought right now through Kriyas Yamsuf, so the sea splits. But Yanos, when Yosef ran away, so the sea also runs away. Let's just be walking. The schus of the Aron Shel Yosef is how Bnei Israel is able to have the sea split for them. That's the fourth. What is the connection between Yosef HaTzadik's kever, or his bones, I should say, his coffin, and the sea splitting? Those are our four questions. Again, the questions are one more time, to repeat them. How could Abraham and the Jews die of Choshech, Adas, and Vavirim? We're not among those. How could it be that they had horses left that are from the people of Yirei Hashem, of the Mitzrim, and all of a sudden they stop in Yirei Hashem a few prukim later? Like, it wasn't so much time had passed since they had protected their a few months, maybe 2 months, 3 months. Since they had been saving their animals from the bar that they saw killed everyone else. Shouldn't they only be forced to believe in Hashem more? And how they are, now they are chasing Bnei Israel? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu called the Chacham Lev because he took mitzvahs, because he took Yosef's bones? They're all doing the mitzvah of taking out what they were commanded to take out. And finally, Ma Kesher, what's the connection between Yosef, his coffin, his bones, and the Kriyas Yamsuf? Okay. We'll start with the first question we asked. How could Dasan Aviram be among the 20%? And what happened to the other 8%? How could they not believe in Hashem? They've been watching Hashem for the last year. Distinguish between Bnei Israel and the Mitzrim, plague after plague after plague. Like, what else do you want to see to be a full believer? So I don't remember where I heard this from, or if I made this up myself way back in the day, but people who did not make it out, people who did not want to leave Mitzrayim. Why would you ever want to not leave Mitzrayim? Because life was pretty good at that point in time. It was bad until this past year, but now it's been much, much better. Why is it so much better? Because now they're not enslaved anymore. The Mitzrayim are being punished. They're living a good life. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, time to go. We're about to leave very soon. And their response is, you know what? I can make it here. I'm pretty comfortable right now over here. Things are okay. The 80% that died were not 80% in the Russia category, the worst 80% that we had. There were 80% who did not want to take the next part of their journey. They were very comfortable where they were. They didn't want to make the next moves to advance themselves. They felt like they were in a good place. Those of you were not tzaddikim at all, but they were open to the challenge. They were interested in what would be the next thing on tap for Klal Yisrael. They were okay with that. For a person to feel like, you know what? I like it here. I want to stay here. We've got good food now. We're living a high life right now. They were not welcome to the next part of the journey of Klal Yisrael. It's true. They might have been tzaddikim in other ways. They believed in God, but they didn't want to go beyond their comfort zone. So those people were not invited to the next stage of life. They were not invited. Those of you who were not among the top 20 tzaddikim. They're among the 20% who wanted to be part of the next stage of the journey that Klal Yisrael was about to go on. I remember when I was coaching actually a basketball team. I don't think it's a T4 because it's not really an impressive thing. But I was coaching SIR Middle School. It should be. As our middle school, before I was married, but 20 years ago, 21 years ago. And I remember we had a big playoff game against Ramaz. And I was, you know, getting the pregame, everyone's in the huddle, you know, in the locker room, or really it's like in the open classroom with everyone else who's open classrooms. Yes, sir. Anyways, but I was giving the little pregame schmooze to the guys. And I said, you know, who here thinks we can't beat Ramaz today? You know, some kids like, you know, me. Like, what? Like, okay, you're benched for the day. You're not playing today. He stormed out, told his dad. Dad got angry at us. I said, You can't not believe in we might lose. It's possible. We did lose. You know, they're much better than we were. It's true. But you can't like admit that. You can't say like willingly, yeah, we're not going to win this game. You can't show up on the court and assume that's going to be the case. If you're not interested in the possibility that life might change, that we have opportunities around us, you're not invited to be part of the process. You're not invited. Here we are, all of us, in a very significant part of our lives right now. We're between. We're in a gap. We're in a gap. It's true. It's called the gap here for a reason. We're in a gap of our life. Because a gap means it's like a break here. We finished our high school days, high school representing whatever it was in our lives. Each was different. Maturity, immaturity, you know, studying for school, whatever it was. Everyone, but there's supposed to be a year now of maturity. We're supposed to be able to advance and develop to the next stage, what God has in store for us around the corner. It's not supposed to be that we end up like everyone else does when they start their college series. It's not supposed to be like that. We're not like everyone else anymore. We have a journey we're on right now. And you can be among those who want to see where this journey takes us. I'm not talking about what college, you don't care what college you go to in the end. It's about how you view your life. What's the next stage for us? Do we want to now rejoin society like we did in high school? Rejoin them now for college like everybody else in the world? Like the 80% of people that didn't make it out of Choshech because they were happy to stay put. They don't want to have to tackle the next thing came their way. They were very comfortable with where they were right now. Are we open-minded to seeing where life will take us next? How am I going to be the best version of myself as a Jew? Not as a 19-year-old kid. As a Jew that I could possibly be. The difference between making it out of Choshech and not making it out of Choshech. Why the Yirei Hashem, only a few months ago, by Bara, all of a sudden turned their horses over to be given over? Because it was a moment in time. They chose to have a moment of belief, but they didn't commit to Yirei Hashem. They weren't committed to it. They allowed themselves for that moment because it served their best interests. It was in their best interest to bring their animals in to protect them if God exists. And they believed that maybe he did for the moment. But it didn't make it who they really were. That wasn't who they were. They were Mitzrim. We spend over here a year right now. We go through motions. We learn. We go to davening, hopefully. We're trying to get better and closer. Is this a moment in our lives? It's a year Hashem moment that we're having, where we participate and partake in certain events because everyone else does it? Or am I trying to make this a part of who I am? For a person who goes about his day, I mentioned this the other day, who goes about his day, everything he's supposed to do when it happens. He goes to davening, he goes to learn. But outside of the yeshiva experience, on Shabbos, after hours, he's not a bachur. He's not a yeshiva bachur, then he's not becoming one with this idea of Yirei Hashamayim. He's just checking off boxes for himself. The Mitzrim believe for that moment in time, it's worth my while to bring my animals inside. But it wasn't who they were. It was a small little footnote in their lives. And we too right now are going through a moment in time that can either be who we become right now, where we're Jews, and also, you know, Americans, whatever else we've come from in life, Canadians, Israelis, whatever else it might be, or are we just fully Jews? We're fully Jews. So is our Jewish identity just an adjective to describe what we are besides this, or is this who we are? The Mitzrayim were not really Yirei Hashem. They just felt that way for that moment in time because it served their interests. For a person who goes and learns this year, and he davens this year, and because he's in the year, it's what he's supposed to be doing this year, it's Yirei Hashem. That person will not take the advantage we described earlier on, the last question, to really advance and become the person he's supposed to become at the end of the day. That's what happened to these people also. They weren't really Yirei Hashem. It wasn't a belief. Just what they were up to in that stage of life, like a gap year. Why is it called Chacham Lev? Why is Moshe called a Chacham Lev that he took this mitzvah? Everyone was being a Chacham Lev. So the Sefer Tam Adas from Sturmbach says, a Chacham Lev is that Moshe Rabbeinu could have also chosen to take all the money that was available. Could have also, that was part of the Obi Mitzvah. But he chose not to take the mitzvah that was most convenient for him, but the one that maybe not everyone wanted to do. He put himself out there in the face of great wealth where he could have, like everyone else, took money. He chose to do something that was less popular among the chevra. Take bones. Take out a dead person's bones with you. He was a chacham lev because his mitzvah choice that he did was with zero interest in the benefits that it gave him financially afterwards. So you do mitzvahs that are benefits to you as well. He was a chacham lev because he didn't care about what benefits he got afterwards. He just wanted to do a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, Rav Aaron Cutler brings out a similar idea as well. It says, V'chacham lev yikach mitzvos. Not yikayei mitzvos. What do you mean yikach? It means that the mitzvah that he did was kulo taking. What do you mean taking? He had no ulterior motives at all. He was able to be given the greatest gift. The greatest gift you have in the world is to serve God l'shma. It's the greatest gift you have in the world. To go around and to collect money, because God said so, you also get something out of that. It's also nice to get something out of it. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted nothing for himself. It was kulo about just being able to take in a mitzvah to get closer to God through that. That's the greatest level that we have. And we're busy when we start making shikulim. Is it worth it for me to do this right now? Or is it not worth it for me right now? I can learn, but also, that means that you're now factoring in, you're weighing size. What's in my best interest? What do I most want to do? That's not a chacham lev. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. He just takes every mitzvah that he can. Every single mitzvah that you can take is the biggest gift in the world. A mitzvah is a matana. When you're driving somewhere and someone wants a ride, you can slow the car down, get them in the car, and continue your drive where you're going anyways, and do it at the same time. It's a tremendous gift. It's the biggest gift in the world. For you to pass them on the road, why would you not want to do a mitzvah while you're getting there anyways? It's the easiest thing to do. Everything that we do in our lives, there's so many mitzvahs, so many areas of our life, so many aspects. How do you go to the bathroom? How do you get dressed in the morning? How do you take a shower even? So many things are dictated. You can be like, why? Why you give me so many rules? Give me some room to breathe. Or, I can even do mitzvah while I go to the bathroom. Do mitzvah how I get dressed in the morning. I think about God, I'm doing those things as well. It's an unbelievable opportunity. That Chacham Lev understands that every moment of his life is an opportunity to do something big. The thing about God in his life. That's why Moshe was called a Chacham Lev. Because everything he did was not at all about, there's no ulterior motive to what he did. Nothing. The final piece to put us all together is what's shot with Yosef's, why was Yosef's body what made the sea split? So the Medrash brings down, and you can find this in a fascinating discussion about this topic in Rav Kamenetsky's Sefer for the Emes Yaakov, that when the Jews wanted to go to have the sea split for them, the sea would not split right away. It wouldn't. My dad actually asked me this week, he says, where do we see this? Anyone that walked in, a famous story we have, Nachshon Rabbeinu Nadav, it's not in the Chumash. It doesn't say in the Chumash anywhere. Chumash says that eventually that, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu davens. Hashem says, why are you davening to me? Just go. And Nachshon walks in and the water gets up to, yay high. And he keeps on walking. Then finally the sea splits. Why did that happen? Why did Hashem split the sea right away? Because the truth is that we're not different than Mitzrayim were. We're the same as the Mitzrayim. The sea said to Hashem, I'm not splitting. The Mitzrayim were over the Avodah Zarah, but so were the Jews. We were also over the Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to daven, and Hashem split the sea. Hashem said, I can't split it for you right now. You have nothing in your portfolio in Shemayim to cash in on and let it go. A tefillah only works when you have zechuyos that you want to cash in, and now it will do you a miracle. You have nothing there. So you got to go in instead. And then the sea saw Yosef's Aron, Yosef's coffin. And the Medrash says that Hashem says to the Satan who was saying, why are you splitting for them? They're also Avodah Zarah. Says that Hashem says to the Satan, here, take my trusted servant Eov, you have your field day with him. And while the Satan was doing that, Bnei Israel scampered through the Yam Suf. So the Medrash says, what does that mean? So Rebecca really brings down, and Amos Yaakov explains the following pshat, that Eov was a person who served God. Look at Eov, you'll see inside the first parak. He was a real Eved of Hashem. He wasn't Jewish, according to most opinions. He served God, though. And then the Satan said, it's a big deal he's serving God. He's got, life is good to him. He's got money, he's got kids, he's got a wife. Why don't you throw him a curveball? See what happens then? That's what he did. Threw him curveball after curveball until eventually he cracked. But Yosef HaTzadik didn't crack. He had a curveball after curveball. His whole family abandoned him. This girl, this woman accosted him. Tried seducing him. The Fata, as we discussed in the Gemara beforehand. And at the end, after all was said and done, Yosef ran away from it all. He survived. He became a tzaddik because he fought through every single challenge and he survived them all. And when that Aron came through to the Yom Suf, what we said was, you know what? Maybe we have problems. We're also Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's true, we have problems. But when push comes to shove and we're painted into a corner, we will always stand by you, God. Eov didn't do it, we did it. And as it's happening, Nachum Ibn Adav is walking into the river, walking in saying, I trust, I'm a believer. And he walked till the waters were over his nose, he couldn't breathe anymore. But he kept on plowing forward. Because there's a level of emunah that we have, our mysterious emunah that we have towards God that will be there at all costs. Take this entire package we discussed up till now, and you find the following message being brought down to us from the Parsha. If you want to be part of a journey where it's going to be beyond this moment, beyond where you are, what you picture for your culture and yourself in America, beyond that, a lot more is around the corner. You want to live like everyone else is, you won't make it out of Choshech, like everybody else in the world. But if you are part of a journey, then you have the right to go to the next stage of life. Don't be like a moment, as a blip on your screen where you're Yirei Hashem for a few minutes, for a few months. You go back to reality, as they call it, the real world. Because this is, in case you didn't know, this is all pretend. This whole serving God thing over here we're doing right now is a pretend world. Your parents will tell you that if you ask your parents or your friends who didn't go or are already 3 years removed, they'll tell you this is a pretend, it's not a real world. Real world is going to business and making money. That's real world. This is a pretend world. That's what they'll tell you. Reality, real world is serving God at every moment you can. That's real world. The fact that we have to, you know, we have to run around and have a job and make money, that's a pretend world. We're stuck. We're stuck in a pretend world. We have to. But that's not, this is real world. If you think it's not, if you're Yirei Hashem for a period of time or when it's convenient for you, then like the Mitzrayim, you will not make it out of that Kriyas Yam Suf. Because the only people who make it out of the Kriyas Yam Suf are people who understand that it's not about what's most convenient for them. Like the Jews collecting the money, Moshe Rabbeinu took Yosef's bones. That was the right thing to do at that period of time. That was the thing that had no glory attached to it. There's very little glory in becoming a chashuv Talmud Chacham. Because most of your friends aren't doing that. And they look at you like, what, really? You don't do this with us. We're not going with the boys anymore. The boys are getting together. We're going back to the place we owe that place back in school. You're not coming? They're not, wow, I'm so impressed. Like, what are you, really? Like, you got brainwashed? You got brainwashed? You couldn't see past that. That's what they're going to say to you. Because they view world very differently than you do. It's all about what they want to do, what makes best, most fun for them. Then they'll serve Hashem if it fits into their lifestyle. Not the other way around. Or us, what makes a true Jew, what makes the sea split for us, is Mesiras Nefesh. The greatest Mesiras Nefesh is when it's so hard to do. And everyone's against you on it. And you see through that and you say, I don't care what everyone looks at me as, I'm going right through with all the trials and tribulations. That's when a person becomes a Yosef HaTzadik. He doesn't care about everyone else's opinion of him. He doesn't care. He has a bigger picture in mind than what you think about me. I'll end with the last story right now, 30 seconds, and we'll daven chetzi, even though I hate doing it. We'll daven chetzi. He did it very last time, a full one. Someone else can do it. I never forget this time because it was the funniest thing in the world. I never saw something as weird as this. Like I told a story in the past, one time I was skyping into a reunion of my high school reunion. It was about my 20-year reunion. Must be a few years ago, whatever it was. It was 2013, 20-year reunion of my high school. And I was in Israel, and they're all in America. I skyped in, and my friends, I screwed with my friends a little bit. And at the end, my friend says to me, "I'm so sorry, Avi. Everyone's making fun of how religious you are." I was like, first of all, I said I didn't hear it. Second of all, like, you think I care? You think I'm a you think I care that people are, I'm not 19 years old. I'm married with a family. I'm a rabbi. I don't feel like a level of like uncomfortability by being completely fully, you know, correct. Shomer Torah mitzvah. I'm not like bothered by that. Like, could you imagine if you were heading to work, you work in a very prestigious law firm or on Wall Street, and these guys at the corner or the street where you're walking by, your old friends from school, you know, they're playing cards inside the street, they have no job. They say, you want to come play with us today? You're like, I'm sorry, I can't. I got a job to go to. You have a job? Loser. Really? Like, you're going to go work? You're not like, oh my gosh, they're right. What? I wish I could sit with them all day and just do nothing with them. You don't think that way. You feel bad for them. You feel bad. I feel bad that you're so lost that you don't understand it's good to have a job, make a living for people. I feel bad for people who like think that it's about money. It's about jobs. It's about that kind of, I feel bad. Because the money and the jobs, at some point, they go away. If it's not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you, at the end of the day, there's someone who's missing a very big piece. And they feel bad. They feel bad for me. They feel like, I feel bad for them. And you're all getting a small little taste this year. Some of you bigger taste than others. Some of you are still small. And you have this chus to be able to taste what it means to be really in the world for what it was meant to be here for. You can be a Yirei Hashem for a moment or for life. You all brach of looking at the heroes of our story and not the ones who are not heroes. What they believed in, the Moshe Rabbeinu's believed in, versus the Yirei Hashem of Mitzrayim, what they believed in for a moment in time. If you take those lessons to heart in Bishalach, in this week's Parsha, you should be Zocha and you should merit to be able to, not only this while you're here, but beyond, your friends should make fun of you for how religious you are. People should make fun of you for how successful you are in your life. Mitzrayim, we should always be Zocha to be striving towards greatness in our life. Every Shabbos.